upon us. Let your mercy upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your mercy, O Lord, forgive us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. David said in Psalm 51, verse 1, that have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy steadfast love. He said, according to thy loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Today, O Lord, as we are in this, blot out all our transgressions, Lord. Blot out all our transgressions, Lord. Blot out all our transgressions, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Papa, 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 papa
compromise unto God. For it is our spiritual worship. To the Lord we are praying that we give ourselves unto you, Lord. We give ourselves unto you, Lord. We give ourselves unto you, Lord. Without any carnality in our minds. Without any carnality in our lives. Without any carnality in our character. Without any carnality in our Bible masters. Without any carnality in our character. In the mighty name of Jesus, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Makashi Randandabaraba.
Makanda na ba na ba, 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 makanda na ba na
churches, and we were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and we went out to preach with the Romans. Today, as we are at this meeting, let this meeting place be filled with your power. Let this meeting place be filled with your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord God of hosts, who told our disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, said to them that they shall receive power. Let your power reign, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Makashi Rantanabaraba, Murantanabaka Shantanabaraba, Rantanabaka Shirabaka Shirabaraba, Masitiri Piranabaka Shantanabaraba, Murantanabaka Shiri, Piranabaka Shantanabaraba, Makashi Piranabaka Shantanabaraba, Makatanabaraba, Makashi Piranabaraba. Murang tangan nama, masukkan tangan sangkan nama nama papa papa, makanan nama nama, murang kakak suri, murang tangan nama nama kakak suri, tangan nama nama, murang tangan nama kakak satan nama nama, masukkan nama nama kisatan nama nama, murang makan tangan nama nama kakak suri nama nama, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we continue to pray for those who are yet to join us. We are praying that the Lord should have mercy on them, so that they will come here in peace, so that they will come here without any fear, so that they will come here without any concern. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Worship song.
Let me tell you something, my brother is one that I will praise the Lord in all glory. I will praise the Lord extending. So we are going to praise Him. We are going to praise Him extending. We are going to praise Him with the fruit of our lips.
Sorry, I can't go. Oh, you're right. Today, Lord, we are grateful for
Let your glory be as manifest to the world. So that the Lord, the world can know that yes, you are the Lord of me. You are the Lord God of food, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The Lord is thank you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our
Is there anything too hard for? It's a good day to be in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for today. We also thank God for our lives. Amen. At this moment, if you have any testimony, you can come and share with us. If you have any testimony, you can come forward and share with us. Any testimony, you can come and share here. There's some few minutes testimony.
Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for everything He has done for us. For St. Mark and his name. We started our project with him. We were giving our supervisor, but this particular supervisor was the one that taught us a research initiative back in September. So we expected that much we expected from her since we are doing the course. But she doesn't mind us. For the past, we started January. From January, this through this March, she has, when we tested, she doesn't reply. When we call her, she doesn't mind us. She said we should do everything on our own. She doesn't look at our pockets for us. There's nothing that this woman is doing for us. And we have to submit the project work later, but we have to start with chapter 2. But we've not even started with proposals, we have to continue with chapter 2. And she has not even approved what we have to do. So we were confused that what's going wrong, that this woman is not admitted to what has been given to her to help us. So in prayers and everything, just yesterday, on my way to church, and we called, when I was coming, and I told one of my members that let's call the woman. I have this strong feeling that the woman will pick up our call and there will be a positive feedback. So when we called the woman and she told us that what is the problem, and we told her everything, and she told us that what we are doing, the topic we've chosen is not the right topic. So we should leave that topic. And she will give us a topic that we will do. And I was very surprised because this is the person that she, when you test her, you call her, she doesn't mind you. Exactly, she has left everything for us to do. But she's now saying she will give us a topic. That means she's the one going to work for us. So once she has given us a topic, I know that the Lord is going to favor us and we will do all in our good. And so I thank God for showing us favor. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Any other testimony? Any testimony? Okay. There is no other testimony. Now let us be on our knees. As we welcome our Bishop. Wherever you are, I want you to focus on Jesus this morning. Let's focus on Him. Focus on Him. Focus on Him. Let's focus on Jesus. It has been Jesus, and it is always Jesus. Let's focus on Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love the cross.
Come to church after 10, you are recorded that you who never came to church. Amen.
Amen.
At least whether you believe or you don't believe, that's what's happening. And when I got this revelation, I thought it's a personal thing. Until one day, I was listening to someone who was an ex-cult. And he said that many Christians, a Christian who will be go ahead. And I was surprised, I said, why is this guy saying that? And he said that many Christians like going to church meet because I'm not going to. So you see, which means that they know, they are much focused on the church. And they know the timings of the church. And they know when to accuse the church. Amen. Yeah, and he said that because whenever we decide, we tell God that we will come to church 11, 6 p.m., whatever. Any meeting time we say we want to meet God. And we don't come, there's a particular angel that comes to take records. And this angel, he takes record at the same time we said we will come. And when he takes the record, he go. Anyway, so if you are someone, you are a Christian and you like going to church late, it's a sign, say, you may think say you are going to church, but every day you never go to church. Amen. Amen. So please, let's work on our time. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren. This morning, I beseech you, brethren, that you should watch. Honestly, when the guy said it, because this revelation, when I pick it, you know, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this particular action, I was surprised. But when the guy said it, you know, him, I said that, so if you can be a Christian for 25 years, and if you are always a consistent, late Christian, that you think, say, we are low, the pastor is over there, so for the pretty and normal, I didn't know. It's more like when pastor for the past 20 something years. Amen. Amen. So let's be very, very careful. And you see, many a times people don't understand why in this life you need to be spiritual. Whether you like it or not, life is very spiritual. Yeah, I always encourage people that you need to go to school, you need to be a professor, whatever, any opportunity that comes on your way in education or even business, do it. But in everything that you do, you should understand that life is very spiritual. Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, life is very spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so this morning I wanted to preach on the message, the benefit of hiding and flourishing. But when I came here, the Holy Spirit changed my message. Gave me just a message. So that is the reason why sometimes it surprised me when someone says that it takes 1 week to prepare a message. You are not serious. You are not serious. People normally who takes 1 week, whatever, to prepare a message, it's a sign that you don't have any connection with the Holy Spirit. Because your influence with the Holy Spirit should be daily. And if you work with someone daily, for the person to talk to you, it doesn't need a long days for the person to talk to you. Because if you are with someone, you work with a person daily, you are connected with a person. Someone is your friend. Every day you are with the person consistent. Whatever you need now, the person will tell you. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, my message, by the influence of the Holy Spirit, is your preparation into greatness. Amen.
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 Your preparation into greatness. Your preparation into greatness. Honestly, there's no one who God brought on this earth not to be great. Amen.
Amen.
Any creation of God is meant to be great. And whenever you become great, that is whereby you begin to showcase the glory of God. Any greatness that a man be, or that a person becomes, that a creation be, add to the glory of God. So whenever we sit in this life and we even position our mind that we are not meant to be great, it's a sign that we are not showcasing the glory of God. It's a sign that we are speaking against God. We are minimizing who God is. Amen. So it's a sign that anyone born in this life is meant to be great. That's why even Jesus said that among anyone who was born of men, no one is great. So it's a sign that for Jesus to mention the word great, it's a sign that everyone born with man is supposed to be great. So he said that among those that were born of men, none is greater than who? John the Baptist. So it's a sign that every personality has some level of greatness attached. Amen. So it's a sign that God, in the heart of God, his desire that me and you will be great. Because whenever we become great, that is whereby we begin to showcase the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing in this world becomes fame or great without preparation and capacity. Yeah. This is what the words of the Holy Spirit that I write. Nothing in this world becomes fame or great without preparation and capacity. You see, there's nothing called shortcut in greatness. There's nothing called shortcut. There's nothing called shortcut. When you go to a shrine, you visit a shrine to be great or to be famed. You join a court society, join a certain group to be. No, that's not greatness. That is slavery. And that actually means you are selling your soul. Because true greatness, there's nothing called soul tied. There's nothing called selling of soul when it comes to true greatness. True greatness deals with freedom. Freedom, happiness, rest. Amen. So there's nothing called shortcut. Because I've realized that in our dispensation, the youth, including me, we are in hurry to be great. We are in hurry to be great. It's because we don't really understand that God positioned us to be great. God brought us on this, in this life, to be great. Because the more we become great, the more we showcase the glory of God. So if you don't even become great, it's an insult. It's something that minimizes the power of God. That minimizes who God is. Because if the devil, someone can join a group, someone can go to a shrine, and the person can get something to showcase for people to applaud him, how much God? Amen. But our problem is that we are not ready for God to make us great. Because we think that, because we say that life doesn't matter of age. Eh? We say that life doesn't matter of age. So you can still be rich when you are young. I mean, it's true. But let me tell you something. If you become rich or you become wealthy or become great, in quotes, without preparation, proper preparation and capacity, you misuse your greatness and you can easily be destroyed. Amen.
Amen.
That is the reason why there is no child who came out from his mother's womb and the child is 100% grown, everything is intact. The child goes through a process, because all of us here, we were once a child. We were once baby. So you go through a process. You go through a preparation in order to build capacity. How to even use words. How to say words, not to make someone offended. How to make someone happy. How to encourage. These are the preparation of a child. the capacity that the child builds. Amen. So nothing in this world becomes fame or great without preparation or capacity. Your preparation is your moment of building capacity to be called great. Your preparation. The preparation that you are in, the preparation God takes you in, is the moment to build capacity to be called great. It's the moment to build capacity. It's the moment to build capacity to be called great. It's the moment. Your preparation, what you are going to, is the moment of capacity. And we don't have same duration because we don't have same assignment. Based on diverse destiny and destination, there's also diverse duration to build capacity into greatness. Amen. Because our destinies are not the same. Because our destinations are not the same. Are not the same. Because of that, there will be diverse duration. My duration to build capacity as a great person in the sight of God will never be the same to your duration of building capacity. That's why I said that it took Noah 120 years to build an ark. But it took Joseph just 12 years to save the world. So all of these people were saviors, but one took 120 years. Amen. To build an ark. Because why? One was in the dispensation of government to establish the governance of God on earth. And one was in the dispensation of promise just to continue the promises of God. Amen. Amen. So based on your destination and your destiny will determine the diverse duration of capacity that you need. Because Noah was meant, he was a savior, alright, but he was meant to build capacity. Eh? Capacity in order to manifest the governance of God. To establish government. Because there was no government on this earth. So through the dispensation of Noah, God established government. It is quite unfortunate that many people, or we Christians, we belittle the Bible. We read the Bible at any time that we want. We are not serious with the scriptures, neither the gospel, neither other books. Now was inspired by the Lord to write for us to get scriptures or let's say the Bible. But anything you see in this life, anything you see in this life comes from the Bible. Any pattern you see man doing, when it comes to even area of slavery, is in the Bible. Area of governance is in the Bible. Area of promise is in the Bible. Area of love. Everything that you see in this life. Everything. So people think that there is a different book or there is something different that will help them to get to where they are. Let me tell you, anything that you see man doing is a discovery from the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Anything that you see in this life. That is the reason why, by the grace of God, I come to realize that nothing can move me. The only person who can move me is the Holy Spirit. You have come to a conclusion, and I've come to an understanding that there's nothing new under this sun, and anything that we see in this life is from the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, based on the diverse destiny and destination of us, there is always diverse duration to build capacity into greatness. So whether you like it or not, you need to build a capacity. Because when God wanted to save The world through Joseph. Joseph needs to build a capacity. A capacity of faithfulness. A capacity of trustworthy. Yeah, that is the reason why he was sold. A capacity of separation. A capacity of consecration. So God needs his brother to sell him as a capacity of separation. And for him to go to Egypt, a capacity of service. For the wife to tempt him, and for him to like, to tempt him, for him to sleep with you, and for him to ignore, is a capacity of trustworthy. Because if you, God wants you to save humanity, and he can't separate you, he can't consecrate you, he can't trust you, that shows that you can save people. Amen. What shows that you can save people? So that is the reason why, you see, many of us, we don't know it. Many of us, we don't know. I'm praying and I'm believing God for a day that God wants me to do a program called My Destiny, My Destination. Amen. And I'm praying and preparing for it. Because many of us, we don't know that people's destiny are attached to our destiny. Because there are some people, they are meant to be Aaron, who, when they see Moses, they will know what they are supposed to do. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So in this life, this life consists of two people, leaders and followers. It's not anyone who is going to lead. If you understand this thing, to help you. Leadership is not what we learn in school. That's why Senior Bishop James Sam said that leadership is by divine appointment. And it's true. Leadership is not by age. Leadership, no, is by divine appointment. So leadership, we don't learn leadership in school. I've read that some people are treating 15 diploma course, strategic leadership, whatever, and still people go and then become fools. They become distracted, like they even come to destroy things after learning the 3,000 whatever point of leadership, whatever. Would you be a man? I know what I said. No. It's a sign that you are not born to lead. And you see, God never made a mistake to make someone lead and to make someone follow. No. Because if all of us who lead, who follow? And if all of us should also be followers, who will lead? So God never made a mistake to make someone lead. Even among angels, they are leaders and they are followers. Amen.
Amen.
Even among angels, it's not every, there are some angels, they listen to commands and they lead. And there are some angels, they give commands for people to know. Amen. So in life, we have leaders and we have followers. And even among the leaders, we have levels of leadership. Amen.
Amen.
So some of us, by discovering who you are, you will help someone to know who he is or who she is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So based on diverse destiny and destination, there is always diverse duration to build capacity. You see, the problem in our generation is that we have refused to build capacity. We have refused to be prepared. God prepared Joseph. Let me use only Joseph. He prepared Joseph. Because he knew that a time is coming to save people. So, number one, he had to be separated. So, in our eyes, we saw that his brothers betrayed him. But in the eye of God, God was separating him. God separate. You see, many of us, we lack the ability to discern. Sometimes some good, some bad, thing that happened to you is actually good. It's because you don't hear the voice of God. Sometimes, let me tell you something. Sometimes, something is bad in your life. Why? My ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts. So sometimes there will be something happening and you may think it's God who is doing, but actually it's not God. It may be man who is doing, or the devil who is doing, or a spirit being who is doing it. Because I've realized that many people think that there are only two kingdoms who are fighting. I mean, personally, I thought that it's only about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. But I've realized that there are other kingdoms. Amen. There are other kingdoms. Because when the devil fell, there were some strong deity angels who fell with him. But when they fell with him and they saw that what the man said is not true, they become disappointed. And some of them also move away. And they are also in their own kingdom. And they are also powerful. Some of them are even trying to do something so that God will compensate them back. Some of them feel guilty because they have lost what belongs to them. So they want to find some ways. So you may think that it's only men who are trying to save men to God. There are some angels, they are also trying to save people in order for God to compensate them. Amen. So it's not all angels who are in the kingdom of darkness, even those who fell. Amen. And salvation is not only, you see, many people don't understand salvation, and they don't understand what Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that even brings right standing with the angels, with God. Because when we read Revelation, so the Bible says that, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. These were angels fighting angels. Angels fighting angels. That is Michael, who is standing with God, and the dragon fighting. And they said they overcome the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto them. And the Bible went further to say that, oh, salvation has now come to heaven. So even for angels to have right standing with God, they need a blood. Yes. So every true angel of God, or every angel who is ready to be with Jesus, will tell you that it is the blood. It is the blood that will make even us angels right stand with God. The difference between us and angels is that we are created in the image of God. But we are just messengers just like them. They are also messengers. Amen. So you may think that it's only man who was supposed to preach the gospel. Some angels are who fell and they are not happy about their status. And they have understood that if they keep quiet and be there till the day that God will bring final judgment, they will not make it to heaven. So because of that, they are also doing whatever they want.
That is the reason why I always tell people that whenever you see someone doing something, and the thing is very spiritual, don't be quick to judge. Amen. Don't be quick to judge. It's because he kills you for your own home. That is the reason why. One time the Holy Spirit said that, you see, the problem of the church is that what Adam knew, we don't know. What we give to Adam, the information God gave to Adam when he created him the first time and formed him the first time, in our dispensation, we don't know. Just like the information God gave to Moses when the people of Israel never knew. And you see, lack of knowledge, my people perish, and it's true. So that is the reason why the people of Israel, they died. All of them, they died. They died.
That's what God said to Joshua. Make sure you rehearse all the information I gave to Moses. Make sure you rehearse to these new people. Because these people are new. So the Holy Spirit, in our dispensation, what Adam knew, they don't know. And they are not ready to know. They are not ready to learn. So they will keep on perishing. Amen. Yeah. Because let me tell you something. Anything that you see the devil is doing, it's not for him. Anything that you see the devil doing, it's not for him. Anything that you see the devil doing, it's not for him. Anything that you see the devil doing, it's for God. But because who are going to move by you, and they will use it. They started, you see, before the devil will tell you, bring blood, bring this, human blood, animal blood, they knew that a blood was sacrificed. They knew that a blood was sacrificed, and blood speaks. And that is the blood of Jesus. That is why they practice blood. Amen.
Amen.
And the devil understood that when you give, it's a seed that brings fruit. So anything that you do in this life is a seed. That's why they tell me karma. It's not like karma, but anything that you do in this life is a seed. Anything that you do in this life is a seed that will bring a harvest. So I want you to understand that anything you see in this life, John the Baptist said that man can do nothing except. So it should tell you that the devil can do nothing except it's from God. So anything that you see them doing, see, spirituality is different from Christianity. Amen. If you are a Christian, you have the right to be in heaven. But you can be spiritual and never make it to heaven. But when someone is spiritual, the person can do well in this life. Because life is spiritual. Amen. So when someone is called to be a Christian, you are supposed to have a upper hand than someone who is just spiritual. Because a fetish spirit is a spiritual person. A witch is a spiritual person. Dwarves, those who serve gods and all these things. Those who say they have stones, Omudi, Nene, whatever. They are all spiritual people. That's why they call libation and all these things. But they are not Christians. Amen. In other words, they are not saved. But let me tell you, anything that they does, it will work. Because life is very spiritual. If God should give you and open your eye for understanding, you will understand that the things we don't see, the invisible ones, they are more than the things we see. The spirits, the beings, the spiritual hemispheres, spiritual things that are there, spiritual houses, they are more real and they are more than the things we see with our naked eyes. That is the reason I'm saying that when the devil took hold of authority from Adam, he took his physical, spiritual. So if you are a Christian, you are supposed to practice Christianity. But actually, Christianity is beyond spirituality. Because when Jesus came in, he came and met people practicing spirituality. And he established Christianity, which is far higher. Because to be a Christian means anointed one. Amen.
Amen.
To be far higher than spirituality. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So in life, whether you like it or not, it's very spiritual. Someone can kill you if you are a Christian. And you don't practice capacity and preparation like someone can kill you. So a spiritual person just can kill you. Who has built spiritual capacity can destroy you. And you may ask God, oh, why did I die? You may ask God. You see, as we were praying, I think last week, I told you something, that you can be anointed, and still the devil can kill you. You can be anointed and the devil can kill you. When you read Acts chapter 3, we saw that Peter did a miracle, that someone who was born crippled, he said that rise up, and the guy rose up. Peter just opened his mouth when the great grace and great power came upon him from Acts chapter 5. The Bible says Peter just opened his mouth and Ananias and Sapphira, he what? He died. Powerful. Peter, there's the shadows of Peter. People were being healed. But the Bible says that if you were Peter went to the house of Cornelius, when he spoke, the Holy Spirit anointed him. But the Bible makes us understand the answer that God. That it came to a point that when the church were under threat, that James, who was an apostle, one of the apostles close to Jesus, the devil killed him. And Peter was in prison. So I was telling myself, this man, I don't have all this anointing. You are in prison. And if the church has not prayed, Peter would have been killed before time. And I would say, Peter, the church prayed without ceasing. And an angel of Peter went there and opened the prisons in accord. And Peter even thought that it was a vision. You see, the reason why we cannot even experience this strange miracles. Because so we are busy, obedience and in the cassette. If we concern. Because we have minimized the power of God. We have minimized what God can do. And we are using our minds and our way of thinking to comprehend life. That's why we are still struggling. Amen. Amen. So, your preparation into greatness, number one. You must have divine appointment into greatness. Greatness is about divine appointment. You are meant to be a great person and a leader. Leadership by greatness. Follower by greatness. So, when you read 1 Kings, you see, it was not easy for Elisha to be great. It was not easy. When we read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 15, the Bible said that, and the Lord said to him, this is God talking to Elijah, go, return on your way to the wilderness. So it's a sign that whenever someone in the preparation of greatness, the first place God takes you is what? Wilderness. So you must have a divine appointment into greatness. Jesus had to go to the wilderness in order to be appointed into greatness. That's why when he came out, he said the spirit of the... You see, Jesus never came out from the water and said the spirit of the Lord is upon him. When he came out from the wilderness, he said the spirit of the Lord is upon him. When Joseph came out from the wilderness, he became the second in command. Amen. Greetings. You must have divine appointment into greetings. So he said that, and the Lord said to him, return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. So is you understand that God is always in the business of making people great. Anoint him to be a king. In other words, anoint him to be a great person in Syria. Anoint him to be a king. Anoint him to be a king. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall you anoint to be a king over all Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abir Mohala, shall you anoint to be prophet in your womb? You see, these are different kinds of great people. One was meant to be great, to be a king over Syria. One was also meant to be a king over what? Israel. And one was also meant to be a prophet. So it should tell you. And you see, when you read the Bible further, you understand that these people, the first person, that was Haziel, he became a king. Elijah became a prophet. But it took for a very long time for Jehu to be the king of Israel. It took a very long time. Because the man who was even told to anoint for God to do it, to the point that it was Elisha, rather, who remembered that there was someone meant to be great over Israel, meant to be a king. Then he sent someone and said, "Pastor, when you go and you are even anointing the person, anoint him and run, because the prophecy or the divine appointment concerning this man has been kept for a very long time. So the day that you put the oil on me, you become radical to the point that if you misbehave, we'll kill you." And you see, the appointment of Jehu, one of the reasons why it was even delayed, that I believe that Jehu lacked capacity. Because Jehu was meant to be a king, a radical king. So because of that, God had to take him through an area of what? To be a soldier. Now, because of that, this one, David, that David is not a warrior. Because to be a king of Israel, you need capacity as a warrior. You need a capacity as a soldier. But not Jehu need it. So God has to wait for him to go through the process of training as a soldier. Amen. Yeah. So you need divine appointment. You must have divine appointment to greatness. So for God to tell Elijah to anoint these people with divine appointment. So you should understand that greatness don't just happen. Greatness don't just happen. Greatness is of divine appointment. So Jehu, Haziel, Elisha. Because when Elijah came, Elisha was a farmer. He was a farmer. He was a farmer. So he needed what? Divine appointment. So the same thing, that if you will be great, you need to have divine appointment to greatness. So these people, for God to tell the prophet to anoint them where they are divine what? Appointment. Amen.
Amen.
Please, can you continue? The next one. So he said that, "And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." So he departed there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. Amen.
Amen.
The next thing that in your preparation of greatness you need, please can you control the chart, is you shall need a leader into greatness. Amen.
Amen.
You shall need a leader into greatness. You shall need a leader into greatness. You shall need a leader into greatness. So when you read verse 19,
So he departed there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him. And he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him.
Amen. You shall need a leader
into greatness.
So you don't just become great.
Even though it is the mindset, that's why you see when I read this scripture, I understood that God has every area, or God has already positioned everyone into greatness in area that you fit. Because God saw that Hazael fit Syria, Jehu fit Israel, and Elisha fit the office of a prophet. So you need a divine appointment. And after the divine appointment, you need a leader. You need someone to lead you into your greatness. Amen.
Amen.
You need someone to lead you into your greatness. The 12 disciples never just became great. They were with divine appointment. You see, for Jesus to choose 12, it's not accidental. Like Jesus should go and choose Peter, choose James and John. It was not. Because if John was not chosen, who would write the book of Revelation? Who would write the book of Revelation? So they had divine appointment. Then they had a leader who led them into greatness. Their leader was Jesus. Their leader was Jesus. So you may see people moving to and fro like rushing and all. You need, first of all, for you to enter greatness, you need divine appointment. And you need the leader. You need, you see, whether you like it, there will be someone that God has positioned to lead you into greatness. The people of Israel, where they had a divine appointment into the promised land, and they need, you'll be one of the what? Great high priest. Aaron forgot that by Moses he had a divine appointment to be a priest. Amen. By Moses he had a divine appointment to be a priest. He had a divine appointment to be a priest. Amen. Please, can someone take him out? It's distracting me. Take him out, take him out. Amen. When it comes to the work of God, it's not our family business. Just take him out. It's distracting me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You shall need a leader into your greatness. You need a leader. You need a leader. That God has positioned into your greatness may not be presentable. May not be what? Presentable. May not look nice. But when you check the leader of Elijah, Elijah was a man whom, when the Bible described him that his dressing, he just wear camel, this thing, he eats wild, he eats honey and locusts, just like John the Baptist. Amen. So if this man is sent to you as your leader into greatness, it takes spiritual intuition for you even to accept it. Amen. So you shall need a leader into greatness. The next one. So you should understand that your leader is your point of contact of transition. Your leader is your point of contact of transition, because God has already divinely appointed. See, for God to speak to Elijah, it's a sign that it is not Elijah who wanted Elijah to be a prophet. It was what? God. So it's a sign that already there was a divine appointment. There was a divine orchestration. Counsel, kasabia koso. Are you getting it? Kasabia akoso.
Sir, we may or may, we may or may, we may or divo.
But yet still, physically, there is someone who is supposed to lead you into that greatness.
So you need a leader.
That's why I said that your leader is your point of transition into greatness. So Elijah was rather the point of transition. Was a point of shift for Elijah. Elijah was rather the door of greatness for Elijah. So that's why I say that sometimes even the one who is meant to be your leader will not be presentable. Will not have the things that you may be looking for. The things that you may be asking for. The things that you want to see. They say, oh, this one is the leader. One time, Archbishop Nick said something. He said that he used to have someone who, the man is very powerful, the man is very anointed. This man, everything that the man will tell him will come to pass. But this man was not known. And everything, this man was a personal instructor or a personal listener. But no one knew him. And this man helped him. Hallelujah. So sometimes the one that God will send to lead you may not be presentable, may not even have the thing that you want or the thing that you want to see for you to accept that this one is the one to lead me. And when you miss your leader, it's a sign that you have missed your door. You have missed your contact of transition. Because until your greatness, like before your greatness will manifest, there should be a transition, there should be a shift. There should be a shift so that the thing that is already planned in the spirit will manifest in the natural. Amen. So your leader is your point of transition, is your point of shifting into whatever you are meant to be. The next one, you must be ready to pay the price and count the cost of greatness. There are many people who want to be great, but they don't want to pay the price. They want to pay the price of greatness. There's no one who joins a court and the person is not paying the price. There's no one who goes to a shrine and the person is not, if you want even ritual money, you pay price. But people want to be great in God and they think that Jesus said it is finished, so it is finished. No, that it is finished was a salvation message. It is finished for salvation. Because even for, ask yourself, for Jesus to bring salvation, he paid a price. He came to die. He came to be humiliated. The Bible said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, taught him not to rob him to be equal with God, but he became a servant and he died on the cross. So when he died on the cross, when we read further, the Bible said about Adam, when God exalted his name, that at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee bowed and every. So the greatness of that name went to a price. He didn't just mention the name Jesus than every new man, just like that. The price to be paid. And he paid the price because you see, the greatest price to pay is to shed the blood of an innocent. That's why when Abel, the Bible said that the blood of Abel, the Bible compared the blood of Abel with the blood of Jesus. Because it was innocent. But at that time before Christ, the blood that was seen innocent in the ancient of time was the blood of Abel. But when Jesus came, because why? Abel was born by man. But Jesus himself is God. So the Bible said that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than what? Abel. So Jesus paid the price. He never just became Lord of Lords just like that. He paid the price. He paid a price to become a God in the form of flesh, to overcome the flesh.
to have dominion over the flesh,
you have to pay the price. So you need to count the cost.
You must be ready to pay the price and count the cost. There's nothing free. So if Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give, and salvation. And salvation. Abraham, the Bible says Abraham believed in God and it was counted on him as what? Righteousness. But the thing is, Abraham's righteousness never made him great. Abraham paid price. Amen.
Amen.
Abraham believed in God and it was counted on him as what? Righteousness. It was counted on him as righteousness, which means right now you have right standing with me. But it's not the right standing that made Abraham wonderful. It was the price he paid. The price of obedience. Abraham was a man of the price of obedience. He obeyed God. Every single word God said, Abraham made sure he did it. The price of obedience. Otherwise, we don't obey God. We do partial obedience. We don't know that obedience is a price. Because it's not easy for you to magnify the voice of God over every voices. But the Bible says that there are many voices and none of them is without significance. So which means that when you say something is significant, of importance, of advantage, so it's said that there are many voices. But for you to magnify the voice of God over the voice of your friend, the voice of your wife, the voice of your mother, the voice of your children, even your own voice, it's a price. It's a price to pay when your own voice is talking, but you are listening to the voice of God. It's a price. Amen.
Amen.
So Abraham paid price to the point that God said that I want you to even sacrifice your Isaac. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. The Bible says that. So he departed there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him with the twelve. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. So that's why you need a leader. You need a leader. Because he's the contact, he's the point of contact of your transition. He casted a mantle. He casted a mantle on you. You need a leader to cast a mantle on you. So that the divine appointment concerning your life with God will manifest. So the decision was planned. But God needs to send a leader to Elijah to cast a mantle. To cast a mantle. So the Bible says he left the oxen. When he placed the mantle on you, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He ran because how can me, I have 12 oxen, I have a business that I'm doing, and you just came, what is it? If you are not going to have a mask, then you just put a mantle on and I just follow you. It's because he saw that this man has my transition of greatness. Amen. So that is the reason why many people don't understand. And sometimes when you preach, people think that you say 80%. You don't understand spiritual things. Because God will never do anything on this earth unless he uses a man. God will never do anything on this earth. Even Jesus, he became a man. Why didn't that God didn't become a God? Because when God becomes a God, you can't kill him. You can't kill God. When God becomes God, you can't kill him. Say, Jesus should come on this earth as God. You can't touch him. You die. That is the reason why when they say that we are looking for Jesus, and the Bible says, say that I am. When he mentioned I am, the Bible said they all fell to the ground. Because that was the time they forced him to enter his deity, like his realm of deity.
And the Bible said they fell to the ground. He said, I am. Which is the same as the revelation gave it to Moses. I am that I am. So when he came as a human being in order for him even to kill. So God will never do anything unless he uses human. Even the devil. The devil will never do anything in this life unless he uses him. He understood that men or humans are point of contact. They are portals that we can connect to the natural. Yes. So whether you like it or not, God will never do anything because God has already brought man to dress the garden, to keep it, to take dominion. So God has already established man as a point of contact, as the portal of which he will use to do something on this earth. So that is the reason why, even by divine appointment of Elijah, the greatness was with Elijah. And that greatness was inside the mantle. The transition of Elijah's life was inside the mantle. Was inside the mantle. So it's not difficult for God to make you great. But if you are able to, or if you allow God to prepare you and build you the capacity, you'll be great. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So never think that God brought you in this life to suffer. Because for God to say that, anoint this man to be king, anoint this one to be king, anoint this one to be prophet, is a sign that God believes in greatness. And he has been in the business of greatness, because when people become great, the glory of God is lifted. They become great in God. And it's quite unfortunate that some people, when God makes them great, they forget God. They come proud. And they do things on their own. And they think that they just receive what they have by their own self. They forgot scriptures. There are some people when they were 19, they were 100% with God. When they became somebody in life, they even forget about reading the Bible. They work with Papa Link with his skills. One day, our bishop said that he went to a church. The church was powerful church, about big church with big capacity. And the choir, see, when they sing and when you are there, it moves you. Then the Holy Spirit said, Master, don't be deceived. What they are doing is not anointing, it's chaos. So I've realized that when people become great, sometimes they focus on skills rather than God, who made them great. So that's the reason sometimes it's difficult for God to manifest people's greatness as soon as possible. So the Bible says he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what I have done, what have I done to you? Amen. In this life, until you follow, you can never lead. Until you follow, you can never lead. The best leaders that God brings out are the leaders who were once followers. That's why I'm saying that this life is two. It's either you are meant to lead or you are meant to follow. But there are some people, for them to understand leadership, God will make them leaders. Because if you lead people, you need to understand the followers. Are you getting it? If you lead people, you need to understand what? Followers. So before you understand followers, you should want to be what? A follower. So that is why when Jesus, for Jesus to understand humanity, he need to one time to become what? A human. For Jesus to understand humanity, he need to one time to become what? A human. So if you want to lead, you need to follow. And the person you are following, the person you are following is a determinant of how you will lead. If you follow wrong person, you lead wrong people. If you you follow wrong person, you lead wrong people. If you follow wrong person, you lead wrong people. And if you are also a bad follower, you'll be a bad leader. Yes. So you need to be very careful who you are following and how you behave as a follower. Amen. If you follow, the person you follow is a determinant of who you are going to be. So if you follow a wrong person, you lead wrong people. You will end up leading wrong people. And if you also become a bad follower, I promise you, you will be a bad leader. You'll be a bad leader. And when I say being a bad leader, it's not necessarily leading a church or leading a work. Even your home. You'll be a bad leader to your home. You'll be a bad leader to your wife. If you're also a woman, you'll be a bad helper to your husband. Yeah. So you can never fight lawsuit. You can never fight what God has already established. You can never fight. You can never fight the laws of this life. You can never fight it. That's what the Bible says. Do not be deceived. God is not what? A monk. You can't mock God. If you try to mock God, you end up mocking yourself. You can't mock God. Whatever a man soweth, he reaps. It's simple. It's simple as ABC. It's simple as ABC. Whatever a man soweth, he reaps. That's why I said that if you are a bad follower, you'll be a bad leader. And if you also follow wrong person, you will lead wrong people. Amen. So Elijah was ready to pay the price. He paid the price. Elijah paid the price. Said that, let me kiss my mother and father. Then I will follow you. And he said to you, go back again, for what have I done to you? He saw that this man is the leader. This man is the one who carried my transition, my appointment of greatness. He saw it. So he was ready to pay the price. And when we read further, he said, and he returned back from him, and he took the yoke of oxen, and sealed them, and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen, and gave to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered to him. You think it's easy for someone to become a prophet? Then he tell the woman, you give birth. He tell the people this and it will happen. He can even disclose the secret of enemies. You see, when you check the Bible, Elisha became a wild prophet to the point that when he died, they put a dead body on his bones and the dead body grows up. You know why? Because the man paid the price into greatness. He paid the price. You see, many people don't understand. That was the reason when he died. When Elisha died, he saw that there was no one who has the capacity to carry on what he carried. That's why he died with it. He thought Gehazi would be the one, but he disappointed him. Because the capacity he built, the preparation, the price he paid, he saw that because Elisha was far older than Elijah. You need to say no. Elisha is ministering Elijah. See, it takes spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge and intuition and discernment to know that this is the man God wants me to go. So let me go. This is the one who carries my transition of greatness. So let me be with it. This is the price that I have to pay. So let me pay. Elisha. He paid the price.
So you don't just become great. And let me tell you, God has appointed everything to be great in this life.
But you don't just become great. There's a preparation. You need to build a capacity, because your preparation is the capacity you build into your greatness. Because if you don't have any capacity and you are great, you can lose everything. You misuse power. You misuse power. You think David don't just became a king. He went through some wilderness experiences. He went through some experiences. Even his own father was not treating him well among his brothers. His own father. Joseph, his own brother. Brothers, they were not treating him well. Yes. So normally people who are meant to be greater, the things that happen to them is no good. They go through bad and weird experiences. Amen. Because if you don't go through, you see, whatever you don't go through, you cannot encourage anyone when you see someone in that situation. So sometimes there are certain things we go through so that God knows that a time is coming, you are going to lead people who will be in such experiences. So you need to go through so that it will not be theory, it will be practical. So that you will be a means of encouragement to people who go through the same thing. So leadership, everyone who leads something was once in the tent. Amen. Everyone who leads something, true leaders, they were once in the tent. That is the reason why things are not working. You see, when we try to use shortcut for leadership, things will not work. That's why Africans, we are suffering. We use shortcut for leaders. Leadership. Every leadership position is shortcut. We are growing a leader. Let not be short. Because we tear. Because we scar. Because of this. That's why we are suffering. Amen.
Amen.
The next one. You should prepare to meet Jericho. You should be prepared to meet Jericho. I just want to end this message today. I don't want this message to be in series. That's why I'm taking some of your time. You should prepare to meet Jericho. Jericho is the place of warfare. Okay, let me start from. You should be ready to meet Gilgal. Yeah, write this thing first. You should be ready to meet Gilgal. Gilgal. You should be ready to meet Gilgal. Gilgal is a place of religion. Gilgal is the place of religion. Gilgal is the place of religion. That is the function of faith. You see, anytime you see religion, it talks about faith. Anytime you see religion, it talks about faith. So Gilgal is a junction of faith. So when we read 2 Kings, chapter number 2, verse 1. After Elisha selling everything and made his mind to follow the leader, the first place he experienced that he was ready to meet Gilgal. And I said Gilgal is a place of religion. It's a place where your faith will be tested. It's a place where your faith will be shown, because I would say without faith, it is impossible to please. It's a place of function of faith. So first, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the Lord will take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. So you see, it was Gilgal. The first place they went is what? Gilgal. The place of religion. The place whereby your mind will be tossed whether I should be a Christian, whether my young Christian is a Muslim. Should I be a Muslim? Or should I be a tradition? Or should I go back to the world?
So anyone who finds himself in that place, whether to be a traditionalist, whether to be a Christian, whether to be a Muslim, you are in Gilgal. That is the place of Gilgal. A function of it. I want to be GDA. I want to GDA Kasa. The faith. Yeah. For the Bible says the judge shall live by faith. And where your heart is. Where your, that is where your treasures will be. Where your heart is. So your faith is your heart. Amen. Your faith is not known by what you say. Your faith is not known by even where you are. Your faith is known by what is inside your heart now. That is your faith. What is inside your heart now? Current status of your heart is the voice of your faith. Amen. So you go through Jericho. you go through Gilgal. And the Bible said, and Elijah said to tarry here and pray, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Bethel is simply means the house of God. Amen. And the house of God is a junction of test. Let me tell you something. Did you so many patrify and feel? Yeah. If you say you are a Christian, you will never so much and so Bethel is the house of God. And the house of God is a junction of test. So you move from Gilgal, which is the place of what? Religion. And a functioning of faith. To the house of God, which is test. So God will check your faith. Then God will test you. You will be tested. You don't just become great. Abraham's faith, functioning of faith, move from idol worship and go to a place where I, the Lord, will make. Because Abraham was a missionary apostle also. They were under Babylonia. Corona and Abraham were in Babylon. Apostle born. In Tinona, Nyame, Esso, Nijijimu. Because for you to be in a place for a long time, Anna Udi, Anna Udibia, that one time, you say, sorry, Neko. It will take faith for you to go. It will take faith. And as through the process of faith, he was tested. God said, I will give you Isaac. Now Isaac can give you. I will give you Isaac. Now Isaac can give you. I will give you Isaac. Now Isaac can give you. Now, why you missed Abraham found a great mistake. Mistake is also by after Isaac by God said I sacrifice to Isaac. Test. What will test you? In the house of God. Because Abraham, every place where he was, building altar. An altar. Altar is a symbol of the house of God. So he was building altar. So as Abraham began to understand the house of God, he went to test. The next one. He said that. Know you that the Lord will take away your master from you, from your head today? And he said, yes, I know. Hold your peace. Now, verse 4, he said, and Elijah said to him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. To Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Jericho, when he said Jericho, it's a place of warfare. Jericho is a place of warfare. Because in Bible, any place where you saw a lot of warfare was what? Jericho. Place of warfare. So in your greatness, man, you go to battles. There are some battles you have to fight. So Elisha never just became Elisha or prophet. When we did Jericho, he said, he went through warfare. Warfare. There are some orders you need to deal with. There are some family business you need to deal with. There are some entanglement you need to break away from. Orders. And you see, whenever you come to the place of warfare, it's either you have rest or you retire. You have rest and continue with the greatness, or you will retire about greatness. You retire. So Elisha, after knowing his divine appointment, and after knowing the leader of transition, and after paying the price, wow, he went to Gilgal, a place of religion. Yes, he went through Bethel, a place of test. Then from Bethel, he came to Jericho, warfare. Whether to say, I will rest or I will retire, I will follow again. I will follow you again. Then the sons of the prophet, they were at Jericho, warfare. Came to Elijah and said to him, know you that the Lord will take away your master from the head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here. For the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Jordan, one, someone's appointment of greatness will be. Look at what the person is doing. Someone's appointment will be. You have to find a leader, and you have to know that this person, through this person, you have to pay some price. Then for price, you have to go through a period of guilt, go through whether the faith is there. Then test the house of God. From the house of God, they went to warfare. Then from warfare, they went to Jordan. Jordan is a place of vision. Jordan. Is the place of vision. You see, until you have a vision of your greatness, it will never come to pass. It's a place of vision. Until you have vision of greatness. And when I say vision, it's not necessarily trance and all these things. Vision, true vision is understanding. Understanding. That's why he said that the Lord of my, the Father of God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of you have understanding of your greatness. You understand your greatness with God. It will, until you come to that realm, it will never come to pass. Even though God said you are great. So you must be ready to finally meet Jordan, the place of vision. Why is it the place of vision? Because it's a place of spiritual well-being. It's a place of, that is the place of transition. So Elisha knew the man of his transition. Then he also came to the place of what? Transition. So Jordan, the place of vision, is the place of spiritual rebirth. And it's a place of what? Transition. That is why when Jesus came, John the Baptist and Sana, Okobo, Esuo, Ada River, he started with Jordan. And he started with Jordan to wait for Jesus, because that is the place of transition. That is the place of spiritual, that is the place of vision. So they have to wait in Jordan. So after Jesus came, then John the Baptist will lead him. Then he went to Ada Rivers, starting and baptizing people. Amen. You need a vision. You need a vision. So the Bible says that. Let's continue. Verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view far off. Okay, let me read from verse 6. And in that story here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view far off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smooth the waters. And they were divided here and there, so that they too went over the dry ground. You see, Jordan is a place of vision, it's a place of transition. And a place, a mysterious place, it's a place where spiritual things happen. The peak of spirituality is your Jordan. It's your vision. The peak of your spirituality is your vision. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I should do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. You see, when they say double portion, many people think that when they say double portion, it's double anointing. There's nothing called double anointing. Anointing is never in double. God doesn't produce duplicates. He produces originals. You are an original of yourself. Amen. The mantle, you see, when we are praying, so the mantle of, let the mantle of John the Baptist fall on you. The mantle there, it will fall on you. But the operation is you. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Because the mantle of Elijah fell on what? Elijah. But if you check their operation, you see that the greatness of Elijah was fire. But the greatness of Elijah was what? Water. Even do the same mantle. Amen. Yeah. So God doesn't produce duplicates. I can copy you of something good, but I will never be you. Because the day I become you, I lose my identity. Amen. So he said that let the double portion of your spirit. When he said double portion in Deuteronomy, it means firstborn inheritance. Firstborn inheritance. So the firstborn, spiritual firstborn of Elijah was what? Elijah. The spiritual firstborn. Spiritual firstborn of Elijah is what? Elijah. Just as the spiritual, the firstborn of God is Jesus. That's why he was saying the firstborn of every creature. So until you become born of someone, you can never inherit something from him. Sometimes I see some people funny when they see a man of God or they see a great man. They say, oh, impart me, impart me. Who told you? It will never work. Because until you are born of the man, what he have, you can never inherit it. You can never. You can never have it. Yeah. Until you are born. So the reason why Jesus is the firstborn of God, that's why everything was made by him. Because what the Father has, automatically.
Yes.
So the same thing, what Elijah has, automatically, is for Elijah. Firstborn inheritance. Firstborn inheritance. So when your ability to follow someone, the ability to follow your leader, your point of contact of transmission to the point whereby you have what we call, you be born. Because Jesus is born, that's why the Bible read, when you read John chapter 1, the Bible says that who were not born of the flesh, but as many as received, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Eh? He said that even those who believe in him, who are not born of the flesh, who are not born, but born of what? God. So which means that until you are born of God, you are not a son of God. Amen. Yeah. As many as me, today he gave power, to become the sons of God. Until you are born of God, when you read further, you see, many of us, we read verses. When you read further, you understand that the Bible said that which were not born. So which means that once you decide that from today you are born of God, then you are no more born of man. You are no more born. That's why you understand why Jesus said that my mother and father are those who listen to the word of God. You see, me, I respect my mom, I love my mom, I cherish my mother. But when my mother tells me something and God doesn't approve, I will never do it. Why? Because I'm born of God. So to be born of God and your words and your practical. Also, which were not born, my mother is flesh. So which were not born of flesh, nor the will of man, nor the will of the dark. Part of what? So that is the reason why, and you see, until you are a son to someone, when you speak, you never do it. So may be a seminary of back. No be a wakua. Name you the assembly to you, man. Then of it. So that is why it seems said,
God is listening to some people. God is not listening to some, because some people are saints, some people are servants, and some people are slaves. They have some people called the sons of God, the children of God. And there are some people they call the servants of God. And there are some people called the slaves of God. Yeah. And even you, human being, before you listen to a slave or a servant, first of all, you have to listen to your son. For he carry your blood. He carry your DNA. There's no one, it's just few people who we say that, oh, no, the man, the maid, a few. Majority of people, when they die, they do their will for what? Their children. So the will of Elijah was given to Elisha. And he said that, he went and said that, and he said, you have asked a hard thing. Let me tell you, it's not easy to, it's not easy to have inheritance. It's not easy to inherit something, a heart. A heart. You have heart. So many people say, oh, impart me. Let me tell you, the true meaning of impartation is stirring. So if you say someone should impart, you say, stir me. And you see, what should the person stir you? Say, be a new moon, new palace to me stir. But if inside of the tools, okay. No call. Because before you be stirred, something should be inside you. Eh? So what people say impartation is rather stirring. And we stir what is already inside you. But what people need, those people say impartation, what they need is rather implantation. Implantation just a baby who need to be behind it. At all. And for you to have implantation, yeah, you need a price. That you see, so you see that the relation between Elijah and Elisha, it was not impartation, it was implantation. Because not a farmer. Farmer be a prophet. You need to plant something. See the nyakopo any abode na ya drinkwon. Nipa na so decide say odia. That's why he said you have heart and hearted. You have asked a heart. So it is quite unfortunate. You find it difficult. People say implant me. People say rather impart me. No one is ready for implantation. We are ready for impartation. Impartation, you know, there is that also. We are empty. You are making noise. And for you to be implanted, you need to pay the price. You need to go through what Elijah went through. Elijah went through in order to be implanted. And look at what he said. And he said, ask what I shall say. He said, you have asked a heart. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so to you. But if not, it shall not be so. So this implantation is hard. If you see me, your ability to see, your ability to admire, your ability to honor, the one who carry your transition of greatness. If you see, the seeing there is admiration. The seeing there is cherish. The seeing there is honor. The seeing there is respect. So Elijah, the one who said, hey, this man, no matter what, if you like sack me, I'll still, if you like even insult me, I'm there. Because he know what, you see, you were seeing beyond what people were seeing. You were seeing what even the 15 prophets or the sons of the prophets know who, or know who beyond. They saw and said, oh, God is about to take your father. But he saw that there's something that I need to be implanted of. So the Bible says that, but it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. There are some people where they will be working with their leaders. They don't say anything. They are just there. Elisha was saying, was asking questions. He was saying something. They don't say anything. They are still there. They are just there. So they were talking. They talked. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted both ascender
And Elijah went up by the way went into heaven. And Elijah saw it.
That is because I mean, Jordan is a place of vision. It's a place of rebirth. It's a place whereby things happen. Things that is impossible become possible. That is Jordan. Things that which is weird to the eyes of men and the natural become possible. Jordan. The Bible said that and Elijah saw it and cried, "My father," he didn't say, my master. Say, my father. Because why? Things naturally move from fathers to sons. That's why I said that we are born of God. The Bible says born of God. It didn't say servant of God. Born of God. Things naturally move. So that's why the Holy Spirit made, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has made us adopted sons. So until you are not sons and very blue, until you become a son of God, you can never inherit, or you can never even operate, or you can never do what Jesus did. But what Jesus did was for sons. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, "My father, my father." You see, I realized that throughout the scriptures, even the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, it was only Elijah who understood that for you to have access as a son, you need to receive someone as a father. Because your Bible only says, master, sir. Master. So all the implantation were master and servant. But it was only Elijah. Because Elijah understood that even when Jesus comes, you see, that's why when Jesus comes, he never mentioned my master, my father. Because things are easily flow from fathers to sons. Say, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horseman thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. You see, some of us, the reason why we cannot also even get connected to what belongs to us with our leaders is because we are still wearing our old lifestyle. We are still wearing our old things. Elisha saw that what he was wearing is from his family, a background. So the Bible says he rent it off. You rent it off. That old lifestyle, that old thing that he was born from, the house of Shaphat, he rent it off. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. And he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smote the waters, they parted here and there. And Elijah went on. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 15. And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view that Jericho, saw him, he said, "The spirit," you see, these sons of prophets were in Jericho warfare. Saw him and said, "The spirit of Elijah dwelt rest." And they came to him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. The spirit of a father fell onto a son and brought greatness. Greatness. That's why whether you like to have the mention of the name Jesus, every name bowed. For the spirit of the father is always with the son. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So this is your preparation. The capacity God builds you before he makes you great. And when you read from there, that is where you begin to also see the great things
that God did with the great man Elisha.
Great things. Great things. Great things. So these are the preparation.
And as I said, your preparation is your capacity into greatness.
Until you are built, or until you are prepared,
nothing is ready for you. Amen.
Amen.
Until you are prepared, nothing is ready for you. For you, for something to be ready for you, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. You need to have the capacity. Huh? You want to lead people. You need to have the capacity to be led. You need to go through. You need to understand the different or the diverse of people you are leading. Or else you collapse everything. You destroy everything. That is the reason why we have few leaders. Because it's not anyone who can lead. It's not anyone who is born to lead. Because it's easy to be a follower, but it's not easy to be a leader. Because for you to be a leader, you need to follow the stream of followers. You need to once be a follower to understand followers before you can lead the followers. Amen. Yeah. So I bring my message to a close. I want you to be on your feet as you are closing. Sorry for the time today. I want you to be on your feet as you are closing.